Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Chris. And we, no, I'm not forgetting it this week, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley here with me to round out the three that make it up here in the SOTG studios here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. And we are here talking all things North in the NFL, AFC, NFC, it just don't matter. But the North is where we're going to go, Weasel. This means we're talking about both your favorite teams today.
Boom.
Regardless of how we feel about divided fanhood like that, you're just, you're all here. And that's what I'm talking about.
Word.
I like, see, there you go. The dude's ready to go. I mean, Chris is like, we covered the Jets and the Giants last week. Yeah, I don't give a damn.
Right.
I got a headache. F this show. Anyways, you know, we've given this kid a bit of a headache before on the show, but he's still a very talented individual. We're not concentrating on Joe Flacco. We're concentrating all of the North, the territory covered. Well, it's a bit of a cold front, you might say. On the NGN's Friday show, the cold front, the host with the most none other than himself, Mr. Montel Hardy, here to join us to lead us through the cold. Kind of like a guide through the tundra. I don't know. You feeling that guide through the tundra vibe, Montel? You dig that vibe?
Do I what? I'm sorry.
Do you dig that guide through the tundra kind of vibe there?
Yeah. I'm digging it, man.
No, I don't know. I'm picturing you this big-ass parka and just, you know, the wind. You know, I don't know. The cold front. Come on. Work with me here, son.
I'm with you. Those winters here in Chicago are cold and unforgiving. So I would say in a couple months, I will definitely be parked out.
Okay, there you go. See, it's true to life, man. Hey, I'm in Florida. I don't know the Windy City. I was there once in the 90s. So, I mean, it was with my parents. That should tell you how far back that went. Anyways, so with that, gentlemen, let's get right into it. The format is as follows. As usual, as we do with these previews, we'll give you a rundown of the teams. And as we do, we give you the overall record and the divisional record. And opening up the first half of the show, we're going to go with the NFC North. Weasel, lead us off here with the Detroit Lions. The thing I find most notable is their coaching change. They're looking to get a new identity off of Jim Schwartz, bringing in Jim Caldwell. Where do you put the Lions at so far, though, in your own mind?
Well, the Lions, I would say I would put them like in the middle of the row. They did make a good pickup with, and I think it's going to be like one of those underrated kind of things that people don't look at, but Golden Tate is actually a very good compliment to Megatron.
Yeah, that guy.
Kamba Johnson, yeah.
He's kind of a big deal.
So they need their, they need to get their defense up, and they had with Nick Farley.
Nick Farley, he's talking about there being weight issues and whatnot. I don't know, Chris. For me, if their D-line takes a step back, they didn't do anything with their secondary, right? That's not just me. I mean, yeah, they got Drayton Florence, but, I mean, are you moved by that? Do you think they're going to stop anybody?
It's always, with Megatron out there, they got Golden Tate, you know, with the speed for him. They're going to just try outscoring opponents.
Okay.
So they're going to go with that. We always said that their secondary is not all that great. Even some of their linebackers aren't all 100%. So, I mean, their defensive line is pretty good. Even if Nick Fairley comes in a little overweight,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be too much of a too much of a hassle for them with him a little overweight.
And he also did add Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron, of course,
so
from the draft.
Number 10 overall for a tight end.
Yeah, you beat me there, too. Haven't seen really a tight end go that high since one Vernon Davis. Boom. But I don't know. Montel, let me bring you in on that. When it comes to the Lions, I mean, they seem to hit everything except for what they needed. I mean, is that what you read from it or what?
Well, one thing about the Lions is I'm right there with you. They did not address the defensive side of the ball the way I thought they would. They're more front seven heavy than they did in the secondary. And I think when you think about offensively, the things the refs allow to go on up front, you know, offensive holding, a lot of that thing, those type of things, it happens so much that you really got to help out your defense on the back end. And I don't think Detroit ever really addressed it in the way that they should have. And I think, it, you know, in a in a division where you're going to play Aaron Rodgers, obviously Jay Cutler, and whoever's going to start in Minnesota, it's going to be pretty rough because they're going to face some very tough wide receiver quarterback combos. And I don't know, thinking about last year for Detroit, it was kind of like a baseball game. You know, the offense would have to go and score at the top of the inning, and then we'll watch the other team go and score at the bottom of the inning. So it's going to be another one of those type of situations, I think, unless there's someone in the secondary who I don't know can step up.
So basically, you're giving me what I refer to as the prom date defense for the Lions. They know how to score, and they're not going to stop anyone from doing it. Anyways, so let's run through and hit up the records. Weasel, what you got?
I got them at 7-9 with a 3-3 division record.
An element of optimism, sniffing playoffs, but just short. Chris?
I got them at 8-8 going 3-3 in division.
I am officially the hater. I got 6-2, 2-4 in the division. I believe that they will be swept by either the Pack or the Bears, especially with over the weekend of the acquisition the Bears made. But we'll give Montel plenty of chance to sound off about that just before we go to break when we get to the Bears. But Montel, when it comes to the Lions, what do you see them doing for their records?
I think they're going to be a 7-9 or an 8-8. They're going to have a real tough stretch where they go they play New Orleans, then go to Atlanta, then to Miami, then to Arizona and New England. Then they're going to lose maybe 3 out of 4 of those games, or 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5 for the next 6. So I think 7-9 is, if I was a betting man, I'd be right there, 7-9 for me.
Okay, and just as a question, are you copying Weasel's paper this week?
I think he knows what he's doing, man. I got to agree with him.
Declaring Weeza, GFM, a great football mind.
Great football minds, they do think alike.
That's right. I'll give you a shout for that. Weeza.
Yeah, boy.
There is no cold front here. The sun has melted the snow. Weeza is a great football mind. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, let's jump to the Minnesota Vikings. I know you started the last one, Weeza, but guess what? I'm going to you again. This is one of your teams, bro. Why am I excited about the Vikings? Why should I watch?
Well,
other than Adrian Peterson, of course.
Yeah, that guy.
Him.
They did get a new coach, actually. It's Mike Zimmer, and he's a defensive-minded guy, so that should be interesting how that works out.
And you see the way he built up that Bengals defense. I can see why you'd be excited. Makes sense.
And ever since, Dante Culpepper, where they had, you know, us
2004?
Someone, yeah, solid at the quarterback position. They didn't
you
like
him. You don't count Gus Frerotte? Weren't you hot for Farad? Any excuse I get to drop that is a good one. You know this.
I gotcha. So, Christian Ponder didn't cut it. So, they actually traded up into the first round to draft Louisville quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. So, what's kind of cool about Bridgewater is that he ran an offense that was, you know, pro style. But he was kind of given Peyton Manning, like,
liberty.
Liberty.
Freedom.
He,
yes.
You know, he could change up plays. He could pretty much see what he sees, you know, make audibles. And so he's a smart guy. And they did try to get Johnny Manziel. But I think it's going to work out better for him getting Bridgewater. They only had to give up a 4th-round pick to move up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, too. And we're talking about freedom for Teddy Bridgewater. Do you see him, like, coming out with, like, purple face paint and be all like, freedom! I don't know. That's my own fault. I put that image in my head.
Yeah, I think he'll do that with the Vikings, too. So they do have Matt Castle, who I think he got, like, a 2-year, $10 million contract or something.
Wah, wah.
But he can, I mean, I think he's going to start week one, but they need to get Bridgewater to, you know, eventually get up there. The running game did take a hit with the departure of Toby Gerhardt. So he went to the Jags, but they still have a guy named, wait, let me see. Oh, it's Adrian Peterson.
Oh, him, so, that guy. Yeah, I'm glad you checked. That's a tough name to remember.
And you got
to
look out for is, people call him a breakout player. It's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson at wide receiver.
We saw good things from him last year. A breakout is a good call there.
When the offensive coordinator got there, Norv Turner, I think he said he made 10 plays just for Cordero. So, that was an addition too. So Norv Turner should help out with the improvement with Teddy Bridgewater. And defense wise, they got a linebacker named Anthony Barr, who he's one of those athletic guys, and he's going to need to be working with Brian Robeson with defensive end because they lost a guy, Jared Allen.
He's not just a guy. He was the linchpin.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He was a great pickup for the Bears. And Harrison Smith, 2 years ago, I believe he was a rookie, he was injured last season. So hopefully he comes back and he can make an impact. So that's it.
You think you were a fan or something. Good God, had a load, man. Yeah, you need something for me and Chris and Montel to talk about over here. Hey, but I'll say this, you know, with the departure of Toby Gerhart, there was one owner who was smart enough to acquire him in Jacksonville. You know who that was, right? That's right. Shaz Khan, baby. It's the Khan. Come on. I see you smiling. You know the Khan drop was a good one.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned all the stuff that they were doing on offense. We might see Bridgewater or Castle or any of that. Let me ask you, Chris. Do you think they have enough weapons on offense in your mind to make it work? I know they extended Rudolph to a good contract. Rudolph, the hard-nosed tight end. I don't know. Where are you at on the Vikings?
Yeah, their offense, I think their issue was always quarterback. Maybe a little bit. They could still do a little more work on offensive line. But, you know, with they used their draft pick last year on Matt Khalil. You know, for the offensive line,
sure.
And then with Cordarrelle Patterson with his speed, and then they still have Greg Jennings and also Jerome Simpson.
Flipping Jerome Simpson, you know, I forgot about him.
So I mean, they're pretty good on the offensive ball, especially when 80% of your plays are going to be just handing the ball to Adrian Peterson.
Oh man, well I can't front on that too much. Montel, what do we miss, my man?
Well, when I take a look at Minnesota and how the schedule shakes out, I'm not a big fan of the schedule. I mean, it's really rough. They start off in St. Louis, then they're going to play, you know, Atlanta, New Orleans, Green Bay, New England. So, I mean, they could conceivably lose 4 out of their first 6 games. I'll be nice and say 2-3. But even then, we're talking about sweeping the division if they're going to be maybe a 9-7. So I got to say Lions overall, if I had to pick a record, I think they'll be not much better than last year, maybe a 6-10. Maybe they eke out a 7-9. But I think overall, though, they improved a whole lot. And especially on the defensive side of the football, I was impressed with the Anthony Barr selection. I thought picking him at 8 was a little aggressive, but I think he'll pay off once they, you know, better his skill set. So I think overall, they're going to be better. They're going to be improved. And I think once they finally get strong quarterback play alongside Adrian Peterson, that can be a team that can compete.
Hearing what I heard you say about the record, it sounds to me like you're assuming Bridgewater's going to start. What point does that happen?
I feel like, I feel like at some point in the season, yes, because of the way the schedule shakes out, they might be out of playoff contention fairly early. unless they've got something that I don't see them having and they're really good early on, they might be out of contention pretty early. And then around week 8, week 9, he might get his first start. But we'll see, though. I could be wrong.
I think the one thing schedule-wise that the Vikings do have working for them is that they play the AFC East. That means the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets, all winnable games, if their quarterback is doing their job. Chris, you got something?
Yeah, no, they play the AFC or NFC South, too. So, I mean...
Right,
it's,
I mean that means
the 2-2, right?
Right, and assuming the Falcons come back to form, that could be a reasonably tough game. But on the whole, I'll tell you what, I like where you went with their schedule being difficult because the Vikings defense, while they did make adjustments, I'm still not sold on it yet. Don't get me wrong, Weasel. I love me some Harrison Smith. We've talked about that boy a lot, but. On the whole, they play too many high-flying offenses in my mind for me to think that they're going to do well. I'm kind of in your camp on that, too, especially when you got the Saints on the schedule. They're not going to win that game. I think they're going to have trouble with the pack. The Bears could be a bit of an issue with the way that offense is forming up. I don't know. It's rough all the way around. I have 6-10, 2-4 in the division. Chris!
Yeah, I think they're going to do better this year. With the new coaching changes that they had there, North Turner coming in with the offense. They are going to struggle at the beginning of the year. I think they are going to go 2-4 the first 6 games because how their schedule lines up.
In Montel's camp.
Okay. Right. So, but I have them finishing 9-7 because they do play the East, AFC East. They play AFC East and the NFC South. Bonus games are the Rams and the Redskins. So
the Redskins are so tough to place. I think the Rams can beat them. I do.
Right. I mean, it's and you don't know what they have.
Relatively early, so.
They play the Rams first week of the season,
which means that Bradford just may not be hurt. Oh, I mean, what? I don't know.
So I got them 9-7, 3-3 in division.
Weasel, let us know.
I do have them 6-10, and of course 2-4.
G F M. I can't say you copied off my paper because we've established that you're a GFM, which means, I guess, I'm a GFM, which means we have at least three. I'm going to call Chris one, too. We got four GFMs on this show. I'm just sorry. You're with that, right, Montel? Great football minds everywhere up in here today.
Of course. Yep, I'm right there with you guys.
How could he disagree with that flawless logic? Let me jump to the pack. Montel, I'm going to lead you off with this one here because, look, I know you're a Bears guy first and foremost. And when it comes to this, you're a wise enough guy, a great football mind as you are, to know thy enemy, as they say. Oldest NFL rivalry is Bears and Pack. Actually, it's the Decatur Staleys and the Pack. Boom, dropping that history on you. What? What if you're a Bears fan, you're going to see them on the schedule twice. When you look at those games, Montel, what worries you most as you go to sit down with your popcorn to watch that game?
Well, the Green Bay Packers are a very tough team. I think they finally made some changes defensively. They went out and got the Alabama safety, Sean Clayton Dix, and I think he's going to shore up the secondary a little bit to a lot. We'll see where that goes. I think they're also going to get a little stronger up front, but you know me, I'm hoping they don't. But we'll see the way they look up and down their schedule. The funny thing about it is, as a Bears fan, I'm going to be modest and say that Green Bay will take this division, but Green Bay will need to do it. They're going to need a record of either 13-3 or most likely 14-2 to do it. I think, I sold a little short on Detroit, but they can do better than 7-9, 8-8. And so I think when you think about the way this division shakes up, Green Bay is going to need 13-14 wins to take the division. So I got to have them doing it. I'm going to say they'll do a 13-3. I'll say they split with my Bears, and it goes the reverse way. I think the Bears get a win in Lambeau, mostly because they haven't won there in so long.
I think
when you think about how things are set up, I like the Bears playing Green Bay early or later in the season, because I think when November comes around, the Bears will be more desperate for that win. So that might be a must-win game for them when they see them November 9th at Lambeau, as opposed to playing them early in the season. Green Bay will probably get the win when they go to Chicago in September. But overall, the Packers have a very solid squad. Randall Cobb went back up with an injury. Jordy Nelson can do. That'll be fun to watch. It's Rodgers' new favorite target. It's really going to be interesting to see the way the division stays up. But that defensive thing is going to be a little bit tougher this year, mostly because the secondary on the back end is a little more shored up. We all know what Tremont Williams and Sam Shields can do. So it'll be a great season for the Packers. It's just a matter of how great or, you know, if it's great enough.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to say it now. Your analysis is fine. I just think you're really optimistic. And if you're looking into writing some children's books soon with that kind of optimism, hey, my daughter's going to be in the market very shortly. So, I mean, 13.
I mean, they have the AFC East. So I feel like if you have the AFC East in your schedule and you're the Packers, it's a sweep. I'm giving them that.
Oh, look, he's just saying the Packers are going to beat the Patriots, too.
I got that, too.
Well, you're a hater. Right.
They have to, yes. Don't they? Don't they have yes. to?
Yeah, but that's what I'm hearing you say.
What works with the Packers, the Packers' schedule is the last games of the season. I mean, if Atlanta has another bad year this year, I mean, they end the end of the season at Atlanta, at Buffalo, at Tampa, and then home against Detroit.
Right.
So it's a pretty easy, like, last four games of the season.
That's
for
a road stretch. That's a little rough. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to go on the road, those are good teams to do it against. Not to mention, even if Atlanta does return to form, those games are shootouts. That defense sucks. I don't care which way you slice it. I mean, you know, I know that's cruel and all that, and I'm not just saying that because I'm seeing how their defense is getting knocked around literally in practice and hard knocks. I'm not even taking it there. I'm not impressed by that defense today. Weasel, got anything to add to the pack?
Don't think so. Just I don't know how good old Julius Peppers is gonna turn out, but he was good pickup. They still got that guy Clay Matthews, so maybe they can maybe they can contain the quarterback.
I like where you mentioned him. The thing that worries me is that they may do to Peppers what they did to Aaron Kampman back there in a while. For those who remember that name, he virtually disappeared off the stat sheet for the Packers when they tried to make him a linebacker in a 3-4 system, and it didn't work so hot. They're not going to just straight up make him Peppers a linebacker, but they're going to have him do something like that.
Just be a matter of dropping him back in coverage like once every like 10 plays or so.
But why? Look, I mean, you and I have talked about this all the time, Weasel, like when we play pickups. You're a decent quarterback, but you're a better receiver. Okay, I'm sure that Peppers is a good linebacker because the dude has football acumen. And oh, by the way, even at 80% speed, he's faster than a lot of bodies that play in the front seven. But why? Why would you take him away from attacking the quarterback, especially in the division you're in? If Stafford's in trouble, that whole team's in trouble in Detroit. If Cutler's in trouble, that whole team is in trouble in Chicago. And, well, I mean, they're going to hand the ball to Adrian Peterson a lot anyway. So, I mean, if you could keep AP from taking that outside edge, why not? You know, without making him a linebacker, I feel like Julius Peppers can still get out there and be that problem. I mean, this is a guy who, as a defensive end, granted, in his youth, could chase down Michael Vick. Why are we messing with that? I don't know. That's just where I am. Maybe I'm being too harsh on it. I don't know. Anyways, I got the Packers going 11-5, 4-2 in the division. Weasel smiling at me already. Do it. Just say it.
Yeah.
Just say it.
11-5, 4-2.
Son of a Chris.
Yeah, I got him going 12-4, 3-3 in division. See, I get everyone splitting in this division because it's the type of division it is.
I can see it.
It's gonna be very tight. It's gonna be a very tight division, and that's what I was thinking about. I think the NFC North with this year will move and maybe become the second toughest conference or second toughest division in the NFC. Because I think you got the West and then I think you got the North. And I think the East is going to be a lot softer. And I don't know what the South is going to be yet.
You mean the NFC least? Yeah, we talked about them last week. That's going to be pretty soft. No offense, Chris. You know, but yeah, speaking of things that'll be pretty tight in competition. I mean, you mentioned the NFC South. You mentioned the NFC North. How will the Bears shake out in this competition? I mean, look, last year it was close, okay? It all came down to a Week 17 showdown between two teams that had their quarterbacks hurt throughout the year. And then the Bears, unfortunately, fell on the short end of that because, you know, apparently speed is a problem on that defense last year. I'm just saying. Maybe that's why they drafted Kyle Fuller. But what I'm getting to is this. Montel Hardy, as a Bears fan, what excites you about the Monsters of the Midway?
I think about everything. I think Minnesota had the best draft in the division, but I think the Bears are right behind them after that. I mean, when you think about the needs they had and what they were able to get, just tons of value there. And we'll see what it translates to. We'll see what type of roles this results in. But one thing I can tell you right now, just from watching some tape of camp and watching some preseason tape, is that the Bears will not be dead last in the league defending the run anymore. And when you consider – I mean, when you consider this team was, what, fifth in passing yards in the season, I really think all they need to do is just be average on defense. It's literally, if they finish at 16 in every major defensive statistic, they'll be just fine. I think they're going to be an 11-5 team. I have them going 4-2 in the division. I think Detroit will beat them, or Detroit or Minnesota will take them once. Green Bay will beat them once. And after that, I'll say San Fran, the Patriots, and probably the Panthers beat them. So I think the Bears, no matter what, I got them alive to go 11-5. Could be maybe a 12-4. We'll see if they get some lucky bounces. But the team itself is very good. Marquise Wilson broke his collarbone, but he'll be back in October, and that'll be big because they'll play Carolina, Atlanta, Miami, New England. That's going to be a rough stretch of games. So very efficient passing attack. They got some depth rushing. Kadeem Carey is just going to be a great back for them. And I think on defense, they did enough with their front four. And they didn't get a great safety, but what they did is they got a bunch of good ones, and they got them all competitive, you know. So they're all competing for a starting spot. They're all going to raise their game just a little bit. And like I said, the goal was to do just enough. And it hurts as a Bears fan to say this, but if our defense can just be average, that's really all we need. And I think the Bears will be just fine.
It's definitely a change in identity from what we've seen. Weasel.
Well, I just want to talk about this. Just the Jared Allen pick.
That's why I went to you, dog. I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I mean, I kind of, you know, as a Viking fan, I should hate him now. But he's just a cool guy. And
the word
guy
talent comes to mind. Yes.
Yeah. He's definitely the 4-3, you know, defensive end. And he just brings a good attitude to the team. The guy 2 years ago, or I think it was 3 or 2 years ago, had 22 sacks, a half less than the record by Strahan. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have Brett Favre to give him a sack.
Dude, but Brett Favre went down not to give him the sack because he was going to get his clock clean. Brett Favre was not going to get out of that, dude.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely a good pickup. And Kyle Fuller, I think he could really make an impact to the Bears. You know, you got to keep that defense going.
Weasel, I'm not happy with you right now. You put me in the awkward position of defending Brett Favre.
I know, right? Look what you did.
Come on. Look what I did. This guy. Wow. What a punk. Hey, Chris, what you got?
I like what the Bears did in the draft right there when they went with the corner and then they went defensive tackle, the next two picks. Because, I mean, that was their weak point last year was their middle of their defensive line.
Yeah.
Their defensive tackles, they got no play from them. I mean, it was all Julius Peppers.
I mean, the middle of their D-line what I thought has been weak for a while. You just really didn't see it until they removed Urlacher because, you know, Urlacher. I'm just saying. But
Yeah.
But, I mean,
he was accelerating and just making all kinds of plays at the line. But Bears definitely missed that.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, with their offense, with Matt Forte in the backfield, and then they got Brandon Marshall, and then how Alshon Jeffrey came on last year as a rookie, he compliments Brandon Marshall right there. So they're going to put up some points if Jay Cutler can stay healthy.
Science has proved that they put up points even if Jay Cutler isn't healthy. Even with the mighty McCown going 3-2 as a backup, they were still fifth in passing. It's ridiculous.
Right, so I mean, then also they just added Santonio Holmes
boom
a couple days ago. If he can make the team, I mean that, yeah, you know, he is getting up there in age, but you know, just his presence on the field can.
If Jericho Cotchery can make a presence as a third receiver, I don't see why a former Super Bowl MVP would not be able to do the same. Weasel,
and I don't think you could double up on Santonio Holmes because you got those other two guys. You got Marshall and Jeffrey, who's turning out to be a fantastic player. So.
And yo, let's not leave out Martellus Bennett. He ain't exactly garbage.
I was about to say that. Yeah, go ahead and double team Marshall and double team Alshon Jeffrey, and then Martellus Bennett will get a crap load of yards. So.
And then when that defense is sitting back bit by bit, all of a sudden, boom, that running game gets relevant with Forte. It becomes a very solid thing. Montel Hardy, you gave us how many wins did you say for the Bears?
Said 11-5.
I gave 11 for the Bears, and I think it's really a shoe-in. And once again, things can change, but I think 11-5 is the safest bet.
Well, I went a little safer than you. I got 10-6 with 4-2 in the division. Weasel Weez, what you got?
I got the Bears at 9-7, 3-3 in the division.
Chris,
yeah, I got them at 12-4. Also, I just what they did in the offseason with Jared Allen. I mean, I know it's just with him and Julius Peppers.
Sure.
Just flopping there. But, I mean, they play against Dallas late in the year. So, I mean, that's an easy win there.
Yeah.
So
I'll put them at that 12-4 to tie, you know, with the Packers up there. So, I mean, how Montel was saying, it's going to be like the Packers need 13 wins to win it. Yeah, they would. They would need 13, according to me.
Okay, who would win the tiebreak, dude?
It has to go out far because I got everyone split in a different division and I got them all 12-4.
You did that again?
So it's So I mean, if it comes out to that, it would be the Packers because the strength of schedule, because they play against the Seahawks and the Eagles and then the Patriots. I mean, they both play against Patriots, but I got them. I think I actually got the Packers losing to Seattle.
Yeah,
and then also the Bears losing to the Niners too. So I mean,
well, Montel had that too. What you got, Montel?
Say that again.
You were about to say something?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay, I heard you trying to cut in. I just want to make sure I didn't miss you. Okay, cool. In that case,
No. I'm agreeing with you guys. Take what you said. I'll just stamp it for you. Yeah. I agree.
Hey. Look, don't get gun shy because that whole Flacco thing you did. Okay, we cool now. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm glad we forgave each other over that, or you forgave me. I forgot who offended who, but I'm glad the beef is hopefully done.
Well, anyone who tries to tell me that Flacco is a worthwhile quarterback insults me. So that should give you a hint as to who placed the transgression. I'm just saying. Anyways, that aside. It's break time, folks. We'll be right back in about 30 seconds. This is the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NG football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network. I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game, here on the Student of the Game podcast with Chris Rankin and, of course, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
With special guest host of the Cold Front here on the National Gridiron Network, Mr. Montel Hardy. Find him on Twitter, MH_on_sports. Good times all the way around. And he responds too and, you know, says cool stuff usually when it doesn't involve Joe Flacco. No, see, it's funny too. Like, it's gotten to the point where, like, I used to have a thing with Flacco with the head of the Sports Chronicles, Nick Ficcarelli. You never actually used the word elite to describe Flacco, but I actually have recordings of Nick saying that. So for the longest time, he and I would talk smack about Flacco. So now when I make Flacco jokes on you on Twitter or on Facebook, he's always like, you're bringing that up again? I keep telling him the world does not revolve around him anymore. I'm, you know, this is you and me. Anyways. But that talk will come.
Well, remember, Kyle, you haven't heard me talk about Jay Cutler yet. Remember that.
hey, man, it's your time now. I mean, bring in Cutler. I was expecting something during the Bears segment there. What you got? Bring it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I prefer him definitely to Joe Flacco. And
okay.
I think, you know, he's just been one of those guys. I told Ralph the other day, he's going to be one of those guys, kind of like the Curt Schilling of the NFL, going to play his best ball after 30. And I think he's going to, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to shoe in for 4,000 yards and in the neighborhood of 30 touchdowns. Not going to comment on the interception total, but I'll assume he'll be at a, you know, digestible number. Hopefully a digestible number.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of digestion that'll get you in the playoffs. It's that indigestion in the postseason, as you've watched the Packers do many times with Brett Favre. And, you know, I'll say this about Cutler, the host of the Gridiron Nation, G. Stelio here on the National Gridiron Network, and also the G. Stelio Hour on the Sports Chronicles, always gets on to me thinking I'm a Cutler hater. No, Cutler is tough. I find Cutler resilient. And, you know, I like him as a player. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's elite, but I would be hard-pressed to put him out of the top 10. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at it, but he's definitely top 12, top 13. I don't know. Well, I'd have to look at it closer, but I like Cutler. I ain't got no beef with him. He's certainly the best quarterback that came out of his class, looking at Matt Leinart and Vince Young.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. Anyways, let's get into it. We gave you time to talk about Cutler. Let's do this other division, the AFC North. Wait, we got Weasel?
What about Super Bowl winning quarterback Tarvaris Jackson? Oh, you forgot about him. He's got rings. He's got a ring.
It's too bad that this is radio and not TV, because if you people could see the face I'm giving Weasel right now, like, I wouldn't need to curse. You could see it in my face. Just the what the bleep are you thinking?
He was in that draft. I was just saying.
Are you done?
I'm done. Let's move on.
Yeah, he even was quarterback of a playoff team that won one too. Not with the Vikings, mind you. He was on the 7-9 Seahawks that beat the Saints that one year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough of this tomfoolery. Actually, no, that's perfect that you started tomfoolery as we go into the team that's best covered by TMZ in the AFC North, and of course, I refer to none other than the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Watch. I'm getting that song from Ray. I need an Oh Johnny girl. Oh Johnny, right? I don't know. I can't do it because there's entirely too much testosterone in my voice. But y'all know where I'm going if you've seen that movie. And if you haven't, see it! Anyways.
Yes.
You know, I've heard a lot on the cold front. You've talked about it a bit, Montel. You've had our guy Brandon Howard from Browns camp talk a bit about the Browns. I mean... This team for me is tough to look at because there's just so many question marks. Obviously, there's nothing good in Josh Gordon's suspension. I'll just get that out of the way now. But, I mean, give me a barometer on the Browns. I need some help on that, man.
Well, the Browns have invested in youth and a lot of young talent. You can tell from camp. You can tell from preseason. You can think a lot about some of the mistakes in the past, some of the older guys. You know, Josh Gordon is going to be very good wide receiver. He still can be, but obviously he has a bit of a, I think a chemical dependency is what a specialist might call it, on some of the things you've seen him do and some of the trouble he's gotten into. But to me, I think the Browns can, not this year, but in the future, have a very good team. I mean, we don't know what Mizell is going to be, but me personally, for right now, I'm a Hoyer guy. And if you look at the rest of the roster, it kind of stacks up. That defense is going to be solid. I like the addition of Justin Gilbert. He wasn't my favorite corner, but he's a very good one in that system. You know, you can just put a guy in there, and it's just going to work out. I also like Pierre Desir, the small school pick out of Lindenwood College. And, I mean, the way that defense is going to stack up, they're going to be really tough. You know, up front, in the secondary, they added Dante Widner. So this is a team who, I mean, in all seriousness, they're not going to have to put up a lot of points to win games. Even this year, I think they're going to be in just about every game they play. Offensive turnovers might play a role in, you know, any type of beatings they take throughout the year.
Right.
And if you look on offense side of the ball, they're going to have a little bit of trouble, I think, passing early on, because I heard Miles Austin wasn't as sharp in camp as he needed to be. But I really like Jordan Cameron. I think, you know, everyone kind of takes shots at Hoyer, but just as I told Brandon the other day on the show, he's a guy, you're going to notice him when he's in the room. You know, he's no church mouse, and he's got a little bounce in his step. So Brian Hoyer is no pushover. You know, if Manziel's going to win the job, he's going to have to outplay this guy, and he's also going to have to maybe be the better man. So I think this is going to be an interesting season. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and I've seen nothing in the preseason yet that puts Manziel head and shoulders enough ahead of Hoyer to take that starting spot. Me personally, the Browns, I feel like they need a little bit more up front to pressure the quarterback before I really think that defense is great. But they still solid. Let's be clear on that. Anybody, Browns, anything else, Chris?
Yeah.
No, they had the addition of Ben Tate at running back, which, yes, you know, that was another bad point of their offense last year for them. But, I mean, like you said, the defense, I like their defense. I like the way it pans out. I mean, I even think their front seven's pretty decent as well.
Oh, okay.
I think
I know your record's going to be better for them than mine already, but okay.
Yeah, but I mean when I was looking at the draft and they drafted a corner the first pick, I'm like, another corner. It's
why,
just
why?
I know, I'm just like, man, they're going more defense. They need offense. Why are they going defense? And it's just
I would have, like I said, I would have taken more presence up front. Give me something. Give me some beef.
I mean, their linebackers are pretty solid there. I mean, they got,
even losing DeQuell Jackson, they're still all right.
I mean, yeah, they got Carlos Dansby. They got Paul Kruger. They got the second year player Barcavius Mingo at LSU,
which is an awesome
name.
That's
a monster right there.
Yes.
Right.
The only guy with a better name is Whitney Merciless. That's a great name for a linebacker.
Oh, Whitney Merciless.
He may not be a great player, but that's a great name. I'm just saying. Weasel, record, what do you got?
I got them at 5-11, 2-4 in the division, and Manziel starts week 5.
giving up on Hoyer early. Hater. Anyways, Chris.
I got them 6-10, 3-3 in division.
I got them 6-10, 2-4. They're just going to shock some teams that will take light of them. And I talk smack about the trenches. That O-line still is what it is. And I think between – look, the reason why I'm not worried about whoever's behind center is because you got a good O-line and a good tight end, okay? That's for a young baby quarterback, that's their safety blanket, that's their teddy bear right there, bottom line. You'll keep them comfortable. Montel, record, what you got?
I'm going to go 6-10. I'm going to go 5-11. The good news is that I don't see them winning a lot of division games, but their non-conference schedule isn't, or non-division schedule isn't that bad. If you look, they're going to have Tennessee, Jacksonville, Oakland, Tampa Bay. I'm going to say they can go 2-4, 3-4 in those games as long as that defense shows up. And I think they'll hustle out 2 wins in their division. I think they'll go 2-4 in their division, though, and they'll go and get those other 4 wins somewhere else.
Right. I mean, yeah, you were saying their schedule. I mean, they play AFC South, NFC South. Their bonus games are the Raiders and the Bills.
Oh, shit.
Well, so actually, that's why I had him at 6-10.
Well, the Bills isn't a bonus game. They play. Oh no, wait. This is the AFC. Yeah,
AFC South. Yeah, Bills are a bonus game.
Which the AFC South is still pretty much a gimme too.
Right. That's why I had him at 6-10. Gotcha. This year.
That's why I have him at 6-10. I see what we did there. And there you go. Yeah. With that, we're gonna go over to the Ravens, and I'm gonna leave this off saying it up front, just so I can be the guy that can, so I can be consistent. If Joe Flacco can't find success in this offense this year, cut him, take the hit in the guaranteed money. Let me list them off, boys.
Oh, man, he's ready to pull the plug.
I've been ready to pull the plug.
You're gonna start Keith Lenny? Is that what you're going to do?
I would have started Troy Smith over him at one point. I'll tell you that. That's where I'd have said it. What? Anyways. But let walk through this offense with me, boys, all right? Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, okay, which even if he goes 60% of the production he had the past five years, he still has 600 yards, just saying.
He does talk a lot of smack.
Talk a lot of smack. See, look, now they have somebody who talks smack on both sides of the ball, let's be clear, because T-Sizzle, he's a little intimidating.
This is a game I want to watch is against, you know, them against the Steelers. I'm making sure I'm watching that game because of how much trash he talks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because you know how heated that rivalry is already.
Him and Ike Taylor, that's going to be fun.
And just how he gets at those corners. And there's going to be a fight that breaks out during one of those Pittsburgh games. There's guaranteed a fight going to break out.
No, chip it.
Yep.
I don't know. But, okay, yep. So you got those two guys.
Yep.
Then there's the tight end spots. Owen Daniels, Dennis Pitta. If they don't come out going at least 50% of the play calls being out of the ace formation, what do you got?
Pitta. Steelers?
Negative. Wrong again.
No. Dennis Pitta is a tight end for Ravens.
Okay. The Steelers tight ends are Heath Miller and Matt Spaeth. Maybe okay. You should know that since they're one of your
you
teams.
You mentioned that earlier. That's not bad.
Yeah, Dennis Pitta. Right there next to the Ravens thing there, you see Owen Daniels and Steve Smith.
It was that thing when he was talking about the Ravens, but he's pointing to the Steelers. But I cleared up earlier.
Step your game up. No, but Dennis Pitta and Owen Daniels as an ace formation goes, if they're not coming out of a two tight end set, at least 50% of the fourth quarter, someone's doing something wrong. Now, this being a hardball coached team, I don't see that happening. But if Ray Rice comes off the back of the milk carton where he's marked missing on top of this air game, Flacco has zero excuses. His numbers better be big. I'm just saying.
Ray Rice is going to be out 2 games for the suspension.
Sure.
So Bernard Pierce isn't a bad backup for him. They also have Justin Forsett on the roster as well.
Which is, I mean, hey, if you're going to have a third back, that's a good guy to do it.
Right. So, I mean, Bernard Pierce is going to carry the load for the first, at least for the first 2 games, but also Ray Rice is had a shoulder injury the other day.
Yeah.
The x-rays didn't show anything that was negative, but.
Well, he's got 2 weeks for it to heal. There you go.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that. I mean, I'm not even going to touch the whole suspension thing. That's been pondered many times. Heck, you've hit it pretty hard yourself on the cold front there. I'm not even getting into that. But all we can say for a fact is that he's out 2 games, period. Montel, the Ravens. Give me something I didn't give you already.
Well, I think you got to look to the defensive side of the ball. I think the Steelers, or not the Steelers, the Ravens are going to be one of those teams that have to fight and grind out some of those wins. And I think they're built to do it. They got Haloti Ngata. They drafted Timmy Jernigan. Their front seven will be strong. Courtney Upshaw looked great in the last preseason game.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Mosley has been a monster in each of his preseason games. We all know what Terrell Suggs is capable of. So I think it's going to be a really tough defense. And you know, with Jimmy Smith coming back, Terrence Brooks, this is a very strong defense. And so I'm right there with you on offense in the sense that, A, Ray Rice has to be better, and so does Joe Flacco. I think their fates are going to be not as tied to each other as people think. I think if Rice doesn't get the hot hand, you'll see Pierce, you'll see Forsett get some other carries,
sure,
and be used in a certain way to, you know, to better that run game. They're not going to ride and die with Ray Rice as much as they did last year, because that's why they finished 30th in the league in rushing. So it's going to be a tight game. They're going to be in every game. I don't think they're going to need a whole lot of points to win every game. And so I think the Ravens stand a chance, but it's going to be about the defense. Remember, the Ravens always, you know, I mean, when Flacco came around, people looked at the offense of the Ravens for a change, but they've always been a defensive first team. They've always been a team that holds you to about 10 points and fight with you, and yeah, they're going to have to do it again this year.
Yeah, the reason why Steve Smith's acquisition is so important is because there's now three tiers to that offense again. They have the short, medium, and long game accounted for. Last year, it was just long, and it was just short. So, okay, I'll have a safety worry about Torrey Smith, and then we'll concentrate on the run. They didn't have a guy over the middle because they shipped Anquan Boldin in exchange for a pack of Skittles to the 49ers. Thank you very much. And, you know, I mean, that affected that game. I don't care what you tell me. The duck hunter Jacoby Jones is still good, but he's not Anquan Boldin, okay?
And he was injured a lot last year.
Correct. So. Thank you, Chris. So, I mean, that's just where, yeah, I come out. I like what you said about the defense, too. It's not as good as it used to be the Super Bowl year, certainly, but it's still solid. I like Upshaw. I like Elam as a safety. I like what they're doing there. I don't know. Anybody else got anything to throw in now?
Nope.
Records, Weasel, what you got?
Got him at 9-7, 3-3 in the division.
Chris.
I got him going 7-9 and 2-4 in division.
I am even more optimistic than Chris in this one. I'm splitting the Ravens right down the middle, which is exactly where I think Flacco's at as a quarterback, mid tier. 8-8, 3-3. Montel Hardy, what you got?
It's going to be a tough call, guys, but I got the Ravens. They're going to have a heartbreaking season. I think they're going to do a 9-7 this year, and it's going to be close. I think when worst comes to worst, they just won't get a couple bounces. And I think the funny thing is that I still have the Ravens. I think they're going to do a 3-3 and maybe even a 4-2 in the division. But I think it's going to be that non-divisional schedule that's going to haunt them. San Diego, at New Orleans later in the year. It's going to be tough. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll tell you this. If Flacco overcomes Mike McCoy's offense with Phillip Rivers in it, I'll give Flacco props for that. But, I mean, as a fan, that's the, you know, those are two quarterbacks. If I see them facing each other, I'm just going to have a barf bag in the room. That's just me. I'm just saying. Anyways, between Joe the Foul Flacco and Phillip the Fraud Rivers, it's not a good day for me. Who's covering that game? Please don't put me on it. Anyways, okay, I'm done with the joking. I'm done with the joking. It's funny. Let's jump next to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, I'll say the same thing I said about Flacco, about the Ginger Ninja, Andy Dalton. Dude has more excuses than Joe Flacco because there's no good number two receiver. But dude has Giovanni Bernard. Dude has AJ Green. Dude has Tyler Eifert. Okay, got a little bit to work with there. The defense won't look like a MASH unit, hopefully, this coming year. Totally destroying my, you know, freaking Bengals Super Bowl pick. Thank you very much, injury bug. But I think the Bengals are going to come out pretty rough. If you look at Dalton's numbers, he's been trending upward since his rookie year. Opened his rookie year throwing 30. He didn't throw 3,400 yards, so he's a disappointment because he only threw 3,398. That's right, 2 yards short. And also every year, the difference between touchdowns and interceptions has widened each year of his career. He's made 51 starts. He's oppressed on the strength of three of them. Unfortunately, the three in question are all playoff games. So that aside, I think getting the paper that he did, which is less guaranteed money than any quarterback who signed in the past 2 years as a starter. Okay, I'm not counting Josh McCown, but you know, it's I think Dalton has a chance to go over the hump here, but he's going to have to show it to us all, whether you're a Dalton lover or a hater. Chris.
Yeah, he needs to step his game up a little bit more this year, win a playoff game or two.
I think if he wins one, he'll be better off.
Right. So, I mean, their defense is still, is pretty solid. They're getting a lot of guys back from injury.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to help them out right there, which they didn't have. What, after week 9 last year?
Oh, yeah. It was that soon. If it weren't for Vontaze Burfict stepping up the way he did, they'd have been screwed.
So, I mean, with their dual tight ends with Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah.
That's a good 1-2 punch right there. So, he has some weapons on there. They could use maybe another solid receiver to complement AJ Green.
They've needed that number 2 for a while.
Right. But other than that, come on. Yeah, I still feel that they're gonna they'll do pretty well in division.
Yeah, Montel, thoughts?
I really like this team. I like the Bengals. You know, the one thing I like about the way the team is set up is that no matter how great Dalton is this season, this team can still win. They got Jeremy Hill out of LSU. I love watching him play football. It's a very good tailback. And he's going to split some carries with Giovanni Bernard. And I think that's probably the most dynamic rushing attack. Probably in the AFC. I'll just say it now. Both those guys are young, and they've got two different styles that are going to really help them out. A.J. Green is excellent. He'll go over 100 catches, I'm sure, this year. And just like you said before, they got two tight ends that can play, and they got two defense that finished in the top 5. They got a defense that finished in the top 5 in 2 categories, rushing and passing last year. So I think the Bengals are set up for success. I think they're going to be a great team. I got them at 11-5. And I think they're going to emerge as one of the superpowers in the AFC, especially because I got them beating the Patriots. And I think it's going to be a big-time surprise for them.
Wouldn't that be the second time in a row that the Ginger Ninja would top of the Patriots if it happens that way? That's pretty insane.
I think that's just the way New England is set up. You know, they've got some great coaching and obviously Tom Brady, but they can be had. You look at that roster, especially on offense. I mean, they can definitely be limited to some short games and small amounts of points.
Hey, I don't care when Cincy fans say Marvin Lewis is a good coach, and I just don't understand the oppression he gets. I don't know. Chris.
Right, yeah, I agree with him. I think they're going to beat the Patriots this year as well. I think they're going to just struggle against teams that have a solid defense because of that number 2 wide receiver.
Right.
I got them going 12-4, 4-2 in the division.
I'm just a bit more optimistic. I got 11-5 and 4-2. Weasel, Bengals.
Just to bring up, they did get a cornerback, Darquez Dennard.
Darquez
said to be a good
absolutely
press corner. So, also with, you're going to mention, Dalton, you got he's going to have the same kind of road for as Matt Ryan, because everyone, Matt Ryan, he's so great, he's a good quarterback, but he can't win in the playoffs. So Dalton's been there three times in a row, and I believe they got none.
Actually, to be honest, I've heard more about Dalton already than I have on Matt Ryan. You've just been spending too much time with me calling Matt Ryan the new Romo. Ryan is the new Romo. Hey, so, I'll send you that article sometime there, Montel Hardy. It exists, I promise. So
I do give him
I'm ready.
10-6 record with 3-3 in the division.
10-6, 3-3. Okay. Overall, we got the Bengals doing pretty well. Steelers, we got about 6 minutes. Weasel, lead us off on the Steelers.
All right. So Big Ben did play pretty good last season. 4,261 yards. He had 28 touchdowns.
With that team, that's a lot.
And the thing is, he was sacked 42 times, so help of the offensive line is key, of course. And we got second-year running back, you got Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon.
Yeah.
When you want to run, Le'Veon.
806 yards, 8 touchdowns. Antonio Brown, he's second-most receiving yards in the NFL. Emmanuel Sanders left, so Marcus Wheaton's going to have to step up. And for the defense, they actually got a good pickup in rookie linebacker Ryan Shazier. He's on one of
Ryan
the
Shazier.
He's one of the highlights for, I think it was the last game against the Bills. And he's about, I think it was like 230 pounds, and he was covering down the field, in the middle of the field, and he pulled off a pretty good interception. So the guy is very athletic. And the thing about this year, this defense, is that they've always been a veteran team, a veteran defense. And you guys got up there in the age, you got the only two players that are over 30. And there it's Polamalu and Ike Taylor.
Correct.
So it's a younger team, but they are going to be fast. So Dick LeBeau is one of the best defensive coordinators. So he's got some good players to work with. So.
Well, the Steelers have done this before, too. Like, it's been a while, I'll grant. But, I mean, you know, back in the days when it was Larry Foote, James Ferrier at the linebacker spot, you know, Polamalu was just coming in as a rookie and doing a lot of stuff. Carnell Lake, if you go back far enough for the Steelers, is a big safety. I think that's him. Anyways, I'll figure it out in a minute. But what I'm trying to get to is we're just getting that changing of the guard that the Rooney franchise is so famous for. And I'll tell you what, Omar Epps, I mean Mike Tomlin, he's not going anywhere because the Rooneys don't fire him like that. But I like that he's in place to bring this new core along. You're definitely onto something there. I don't know if the playoffs are in the cards for the Steelers, but I like they're going to be a force, and they always are. Chris, Steelers, what do you got?
Yeah, I like how they started going a little younger there because, I mean, they were on defense side of ball. But, I mean, it's still their soft point is going to be Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor, the age back there in the backfield.
Okay.
Especially Troy Polamalu has lost a couple steps the last couple of years. Hasn't
Again,
been that in that
his
force.
His 80% is better than so many people's 100%.
Right, but I mean, it could help you and hurt you the same way with the Steelers have
Correct.
Been. So I mean, with them right there, you need to see some of these younger guys if they can come in and maybe take some snaps, try to limit some of Polamalu's snaps early, so maybe they can use them later on in the end of the season.
That'd be a good move. I don't know that it'll actually happen that way. Montel, the Steelers, what you got?
I think the Steelers are gonna bounce back. You know, I think they were down last year. They went 8-8. They're gonna go up to a 12-4 or 13-3 this year. I think they're gonna step it up. If you look at the schedule, it's gonna be favorable towards the middle of the season. Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Houston, win. You know, so I gotta go 4-2 in the division. They'll take some of their games outside of the division as well. So 12-4, I'm expecting a deep playoff run. I think they have probably the best draft in the whole AFC. They got younger on defense, which they really needed to, and they also added Dree Archer, Martavis Bryant. I loved these guys in the draft.
Oh, yes.
Martavis Bryant as well. He will eventually slide into a Mike Wallace type role. He's a very big vertical receiver, great hands, and once he gets the system down, he'll be great. Love Stephon too, and Ryan Shazier too. So these guys will probably be Steelers for life because I already know how they're going to play. So I expect the Steelers to come out on top.
And with LeGarrette Blount being added, we see something in the Steelers backfield that we haven't really seen in the same reliable capacity, in my opinion, and that's a true running core, a truly diverse core. We'll leave it at that. I got the Bears at 10-6 myself. Yes. I think the Bears. The Steelers. It's because I heard you talking, Montel Hardy. I think Bears. Anyway, the Steelers, 10-6, 3-3 in the division. Yeah, there you go. Weasel, Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers, same record as the Bengals, 10-6, but they'll split against each other. But Steelers will win the division with a 4-2 division record over the Bengals, who was 3-3.
Homer. Anyway, Chris.
I'm still not sold completely with the Steelers. I got them going 7-9 and then 3-3. I still think their offensive line might be an issue still.
No, well, offensive line has always been an issue. Just no one could take down Ben. I'm just saying. Anyways, we're starting to wrap up the show here. Montel Hardy, host of the Cold Front here on the NGN. Tell all the people where they can find you. Or not.
60 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. What'd you say?
Yeah, tell all the people where they can find you, man.
Oh, of course. On Twitter, MH_on_sports. You can also find some of my work on the newly made NGSCSports.com website. I'm very excited about it. It looks great, by the way.
Oh, yes,
so you can find me there, and I'd love to talk sports anytime with you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Montel Hardy. We'll certainly be going to you again, of course. I am Kyle Nash on the Student of the Game. You can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. And the website, as Montel just shouted out, ngscsports.com. Find Weasel Weez on at Weasel the SOTG. Find Chris Rankin at Rankin the SOTG. That's all the Twitter handles. That's our show. Class dismissed.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. 10 seconds.